God has always asked me to live the sermons that I preach. And that's probably the hardest thing as a pastor, I have to admit. Because honestly, a lot of what God asks me to preach is hard. I mean, if you attend this church for any long period, you know, some people say, well, the churches, they don't preach about sin anymore. Well, stick around. We do. They don't preach the gospel anymore. They dance around hard issues. Stick around. We do. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. It's not fun. It's challenging because I see all the mistakes I make. There's nothing, if you're a parent, you know what it's like to make mistakes with your kids, don't you? If you're a husband or a wife, you know what it's like to make mistakes with your spouse. You do. If you're, you know, trust me, if you're a servant of God, you know what it's like to make mistakes with your Heavenly Father. And it's not comfortable. It's not easy. And we spent a lot of 2016 talking about giving your all to God. That really kind of was, whether you understand or not, that was the common theme throughout almost all my messages, was that God wants all, wants everything. And He had no problem asking for it. And 2017, I think we're going to see God kind of begin to say, okay, you've built a foundation, you understand what's required, now what are you going to do about it? I want to start an introductory sermon, I guess you'd call it, on commitment. Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12? Ow. This is probably going to be the easiest day for you in regards to the Bible, because I'm not going anywhere other than, well, at least I don't think I am, unless God does something strange. I'm not leaving this portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read this in the NIRV version. Why? Just like the way it read. I may even give you a different version later in the service. I'll have it on the screen behind me in case it looks a little different than what you're reading in your version in your Bible. But Romans 12. Well, actually, before we do that, let me pray. Lord Jesus, I need your help this morning. Why? Because You've given me a word, and I know it's from You, but I want to make sure that it's only from You and that I don't get sprinkled in, because You're pure, You're holy. You can speak words that bring life. So God, I pray, Lord, that You would speak life into us. Sometimes life is change. Sometimes life is pruning. Sometimes life is not always what we wanted, but God, I pray, Lord, that what You want will be done. Not what I want, not what people here want, but what You want, because we trust You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it's Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Brothers and sisters, God has shown you His mercy. So I'm asking you to offer up your bodies to Him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping Him. Don't live any longer the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you. And you will agree that what He wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect." You know what I've learned? I learned we live in a very low commitment world. We do. Matter of fact, this is probably the best time to see it. 100% money back guarantee. If you are not 100% completely satisfied, you see that everywhere, don't you? Join ABC Gym. No money down. No commitment. Quit at any time you want. It seems that even regards to marriage, people go into it almost assuming that's not an if, it's a when it will end in divorce. Prenuptial agreement? Really? That's you planning for when it's going to end. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, so even with Romans 12, which we just read, especially in regards to cost, we're constantly bombarded with offers and opportunities for us to try something with little to no cost. And if you don't like it, quit anytime you want. Just quit. And it sounds so inviting, doesn't it? Because, you know, there's little to no investment. So that it makes it easy. It's easy to quit something when there's little to no investment. I mean, I can walk away at any time, and it's not like I've wasted my time or money at all, right? Because I didn't invest a lot. No money down. I mean, I even remember a couple of years ago, I got caught up on that. I'll kind of give you an example. When we lived in Southington, there's that amusement park in Southington, Lake Compounds. And I bought season passes there for the family. Now, there's reasons why I did it was because, number one, it was really close to where we lived. I think it was like a 15-minute drive. And after you basically went the second time, it paid for itself. And I loved the convenience of, you know, if we went and if it was like bad weather, if the kids acted up, you know, we weren't having a good time, we could leave. And I didn't have to feel bad because, you know, I mean, there's really no commitment. I could just leave anytime. I mean, we could just, 15 minutes, I'm home. Matter of fact, we sometimes would go, we could eat, we can go back later. Really convenient. But what I'm learning is this type of mentality kind of trickles into our everyday life. God warned us, though, not to live life the way the world does. He said that don't live life the way the world does. Don't do it. I mean, what is commitment? Let me give you the definition of commitment. Commitment is defined as the act of binding yourself intellectually and emotionally to a course of action. It has nothing to do with success or failure. Nothing to do with it at all. It's the decision that you have already made in your heart. It's what you've already decision that you've already made in your mind. That you're going to do it no matter what happens. No matter what situation comes up, no matter what decisions need to be made, your commitment has already basically said, that's the decision. I'm going to do this because I've committed to it. Now, how do you measure commitment? How do you measure how much commitment you have in something? I think there's kind of three ways that that happens. Number one, I believe it's through the level of satisfaction. What do I mean by that? The more benefits you get, the higher the satisfaction you get, which usually leads to more commitment, right? So the more satisfaction, more benefits, the more commitment I'm going to have to something. Number two, the number of alternatives. See, the more alternatives that you believe exist for something, the lower the commitment you have, right? If I have other ways of taking care of that need, well, I'm not going to be as committed to this as I would be if that was the only way that I could get that need taken care of. Does that make sense? Okay. And the third is the level of investment. The more that you invest in something, the more you're committed to it. It's just the way it is. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about that all the time, that wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is, right? And then, you know what I've found is you could take kind of those three things and then you could, you know, you almost can do like a quick test to see what your commitment level is. You know, like how much commitment do you have to God? You could look at your level of satisfaction with God. You know, remember, we sing songs like, only you can satisfy my soul. You ever heard that song? Only you can make me whole. You know, is that a true statement in your life? Is God the only one that can satisfy your soul? I think it will show you your level of commitment. I mean, look at the alternatives that you use in your life for what you get from God. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. See, I mean, but you see that based on the choices you make, though, right? Your time and money, where you invest them, that's a good way of measuring your alternatives, isn't it? It is. It is. Matter of fact, look at the investment that you've made in God. High investment means high commitment. But you know what we invest in? We invest in things like social media, clothes, sports, entertainment. That's what we invest in. We do. You know, you can do the same thing with commitment in almost every area of your life. You could measure your commitment to your spouse based on those three things. You can, same thing with your children, your level of commitment to them. You can do the same thing about your friends. You can do the same thing about your job. You could use those three guides. You could even use that for Faith Christian Assembly, for your church. I mean, what is your commitment level based on satisfaction, on alternatives, and on investment? Now, 2016 had a lot of really cool things that Faith Christian Assembly can celebrate. They really can. I mean, like I had mentioned before during tithes and offerings, I mean, we hit it out of the park in regards to giving to missions. It was awesome. Even our building fund, it's at the highest point that it's ever been before. The highest ever. It is. Small groups have now been established. We have two small groups that are Thursday and our Tuesday. They've now been established for almost, I think, 2 years now in the new format. And they're running strong. And we're even adding additional ones to try to give yet more opportunities. God's doing some good. VBS was a huge success this past year. It was great. Well run. It was great. Even our outdoor services, well attended. We had cool baptisms yet again this year outside. I mean, even our outreaches, people came and they were blessed. They were allowed to see God loving them in a tangible way. I mean, even as some families transitioned away, God brought new families here. And they're starting to get involved. We're starting to see the fruit of God planting people here. But where are we? Where are we going? It's 2017. What's next? It's those words in Romans. I can't get them out of my mind. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you'll be able to test what God wants for you. What that means to me is that God's way of thinking is going to be countercultural. It's going to be different. Matter of fact, you will find little in the world that will model that behavior. You won't. You won't find many examples that you can pattern your life after. Because what God is just different than how the world works. And I want to make sure that all my decisions honor God. All of them. So, truth matters. I've been spending a lot of time in prayer. A lot of time trying to find good, solid books in the Bible and from other authors that I believe are just giving me seed and filling me with as much of God as I possibly can. That's why I'm reaching out to some of the other area ministers in Middletown so they can speak life into me and I can speak life into them. I mean, like I said, we spent most of 2016 with the theme of, you know, giving God our all. Where he's the reason we do everything and anything. As a matter of fact, we refuse to do anything unless God tells us to do it. I mean, we're learning to become that intentional in our life. That intentional. And I believe as we enter into 2017, that we're going to be at a crossroads of sorts. Why? Because when you build a foundation on something, you know what God expects? He expects you to do it. He will not move from it. He's going to demand that you begin to put into practice what he's put inside of you. And God, I believe, and he has proven through his word, that he's patient. Now, you don't like that. You know why? Because that means that God will not change. God is going to expect you to do it. God will turn you around and bring you around a mountain time and time and time again until you do what God asks you to do. He will. But be thankful for that. I mean, how many of you want to repeat some of the lessons you learned in 2016? Some of the things that you went through, how many of you want to say, oh, I want that all over again? Bring it, Lord. No, you don't. Well, then you know what? Learn from it. Grow and change. Commitment in 2017. I'm going to spend the beginning of 2017 looking at commitment. My desire is for all of us to be intentionally increasing our level of commitment to God and the work that He has for us to do. If we're not growing, we're dying. It is a biblical principle. If you're not growing in God, you are dying. And God is a commitment God. God's a commitment. You know what I mean by that? From the beginning of time with Adam and Eve and when they sinned and fell, God would still remain committed. Even with Abraham, when he said, I'm going to build nations out of you, God was committed. God fulfilled that commitment when he sent his son to die for us. That was the ultimate commitment. He was willing to put everything in. God held nothing back. God is a commitment God. God has always shown that, always modeled it. So when God says something, you can take it to the bank. You can live your life by it. You can. And since God's our model, we are trying to become more like him, aren't we? Well, that places the mandate on us. We have to imitate his behavior. We have to. We have no choice. That means we have to follow God and do what he asks us to do the same way that Jesus would do it if he was here. 2017 should be marked by a maturing of our behavior to become more like Jesus, which means we have an internal focus, an eternal focus on everything that we do. Everything. And that's when it gets hard, right? How do we grow in our commitment? I used to live my life this way, and so it doesn't surprise me when I hear other people repeating this, is that they prioritize their lives based on God, family, church, and like all the other things. Now, haven't you? You've probably heard that, right? That's how people prioritize their life, you know? And doesn't that sound good, doesn't it? That sounds balanced, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound balanced? Come on. We're family here, right? Because trust me, that's how I used to live my life. That's how I used to quote that. But see, that's not the level of commitment that God calls us to. You do understand that, right? See, God wants to be first in every area of our life. God wants to be first in your life. God wants to be first in your marriage. God wants to be first in your family with your kids. God wants to be first in your church. God wants to be first in your job. God wants to be first at your school. God wants to be first on the team that you're involved. God wants to be first in every single area of your life. Every area. So it's not a stacked puzzle. It's God. That's it. It's just God. There's nothing else. So when you make a decision in any area of your life, it's with the intent of making sure that God is first, that we honor him in everything that we do, and nothing else in our life takes his place. Nothing. So what does that look like? Well, commitment, based on the definition I gave you, means that we've already made the decision, right? Based on what we're committed to. So if you're a follower of Christ, God is your only commitment. God is your only commitment. Only. We base every decision based on him and him alone. So the Bible teaches us. So, for example, I'm tired. I don't want to pray. I don't want to read the word this morning. Matter of fact, I don't even feel like going to church today because I'm tired. Tough. The decision's already been made, right? You have made God your highest priority, which means that you have made a commitment to Him. So the decision of whether you're tired or not really doesn't make any difference, does it? Because you've committed yourself to God. So you're just going to get up and do it because you're committed to God, right? Okay, just want to be sure. All right, my spouse is not treating me lovingly. I think I'm doing my best, but I don't see them doing their part, so I want out. Tough. You can't. You made a commitment. You made a commitment to God and before man that you were going to be there till death. So it doesn't really matter all the circumstances and things that happen. Tough. You are committed, and you have to follow through with your commitment. Right? So I want to make sure we're on the same page here. Okay. All right. I find my children are not acting in a godly manner. Or maybe I or they have activities that conflict with church. Or something is maybe challenging the top position of priority in my life or my family's life. Which would cause me to then break some of my commitments. Tough. The decision's already been made. You've already committed to God. You have to follow through with your commitment to Him. That was the hardest one for me. I have actually had to, and I will continue to do this with my oldest son, Aaron, apologize to him. Why? I didn't model that for him at all. At all. I've spent thousands of dollars on him in regards to baseball. You know how much money I've spent on him for missions, to send him on a missions trip? None. Him being a great lefty pitcher, does that help him reach people for Jesus? In some ways, yeah, possible. Can. Where your investment is. What did I model? What did I model for him? I've spent thousands of dollars on piano lessons for Philip. Thousands. I remember karate lessons. We spent thousands on. When you add up over the years that we did them. You know, I have resisted giving you guys missions trip opportunities because I thought they'd been too expensive. God shamed me in my office this morning as I thought about that. He asked me, he goes, how much money did you spend on Aaron's baseball? That hurt. That hurt. That hurt me this morning. One of my desires, and I failed. I failed this as a dad. One of my desires was I always wanted to go on a missions trip with all my kids together before Aaron went off to college. I always wanted to do that. And I always looked at the price of what it would take to do that. And I said, I can't do it. It doesn't fit my set of priorities. And God reminded me about all the other things that I was able to afford. And that hurt. It made me wonder what I was teaching my kids, what I was modeling to my wife, what I was modeling to you guys as your pastor. And I'm sorry. Does it mean those other things were wrong? No, they weren't. They were not wrong at all. They weren't. But I want my level of investment, my level of love, my level of commitment in God to be so much markedly higher than everything else. God wants you to be happy. He does. But when your entertainment budget is bigger than your God budget, when your vacation budget is bigger than your God budget, when your sports budget or your piano budget or your drama budget or your dance budget is bigger than your God's budget, I don't know. I mean, I look at our commitment to our church. I mean, when you became a member of Faith Christian Assembly, there was a membership that you filled out, right? A membership sheet. I mean, there's six different things on there. You know, basically, you were committed to attend faithfully, tithe, be involved in ministry, help reach our community with the love of Jesus. But we allow things to stop us from doing that on a consistent basis, where God would look at us and say, tough, you committed, you're a member, you signed. Matter of fact, I think you actually have to sign it to be a member. I mean, people with jobs in the long term, you know, are stopping us from developing our relationship with God. Why? Because it affects my relationship with my family. It affects my relationship with my church. It affects my relationship with those who need to hear about the love of Jesus. God would look at us and say, tough, you committed to me. I'm your all. I'm your God. You have to fulfill your commitment to me. I mean, do you see a theme here? This is applied to every area of our life. God is looking for high commitment people to Him and Him alone. Every decision we make goes through the filter of God first and everything else last. I'm sure some of you are thinking, Pastor, you have gone off the deep end. God would never ask us to sacrifice ourselves, our family, our church, our jobs, our education, our relationships, and everything else to Him all the time. God wouldn't ask that. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, God has shown you His mercy. So I'm asking you to offer up your bodies to Him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping Him. Don't live any longer the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you'll be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree what He wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. You know what I've learned? God will ask. Matter of fact, the tighter that we hold on to things, it's the more likely that God's going to ask. He's going to point at those things. Does this mean that God's going to ask you to leave everything for Him? Maybe. He's done it before. Haven't we read that in the Bible? Like, often He would ask people to do that. And trust me, they weren't really happy about it either. That means you will make decisions that risk offending you, that will risk offending your spouse, that will risk offending your family, that will risk offending me that as your pastor. You will offend me sometimes by following after God. You will. You'll offend your boss. You'll offend your coach. You'll offend your teachers. Why? Because you would rather risk offending all those other people than God. That is living your life with the highest commitment to God, with everything else behind it. All right. Now that some of you are ready to bolt, I'm sure Phil, you didn't lock the door, did you? We will allow you to leave. But why don't you take a deep breath? Because now I'm going to help you a little bit. None of us are able to live perfectly to that standard. None of us. None. Not one. Not one person here is able to do that. Not one. Every single one of us are at a different commitment level in life. We are. Some of us have done really well in our personal commitment to God. Some of us have done really well in our commitment with our marriage. Some of us have done really well in our commitment with our family. Some of us have a really good way of fulfilling our commitment at church or at our job or our school. We all have different levels of commitment that God is working in us and through us. We're all at different stages. And you know what? My job as your pastor is to teach you what the Bible says is the standard and point people towards God. You know what? It's not my job to judge you. It isn't. That's God's job. That's 100% His. It's not mine. I'm not going to go through your day planner and tell you what you can and can't do. That's your job with God. It is. Matter of fact, you know what my job is? My job is to look at my level of commitment and stand before God and pray and make sure that I'm following what God has called me to do. It is. It's up to us to understand what our commitment level is to God, raise the bar, and begin to practice jumping over that. It is. Knowing that you'll not always hit the mark. You won't. But we will give it our best, and we will keep doing it until we consistently jump over that bar. And then you know what we do? We raise the bar again. We do. You're always growing, always stretching, always trying to become more like Jesus. Always. You know, believe it or not, the church should be full of the messiest people. Should be. Should be the messiest. You know what? Think about it. Why? Because we're the ones running around without diapers. You know why? Because God said, take the diapers off. You need to grow and become more mature. So a lot of us are running around without diapers, and we're not perfect yet. So there's messes all over the place. God is calling some of us to stop having other people feed us. So you know what? There's a bunch of people running around with food all over themselves. You guys remember when you started teaching your kids how to eat? You put that bowl in front of them. What happened to that bowl? It was either on the floor, it was dumped over in front of them, it may have ended up over their head, they were throwing and playing with it. Look, if you live in a church and attend a church that's all sparkly clean, leave. You know why? That means there's no growing going on. There's no stretching. There's no change happening. God is not asking people, or you don't have seen people willing to follow what God is asking them to do, which means sometimes jumping over a bar that you're going to trip and fall and you're going to have a skinned knee. So how do we do that? Because we know who we're living with. We live with ourselves. We're imperfect. We live with a spouse that's imperfect for us that are married. We have children that are imperfect. We have an imperfect boss. We have an imperfect teacher. We have an imperfect coach. We have all these imperfect people in our lives. How do we do this then? Because this is not easy stuff. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, God has shown you his mercy. So I'm asking you to offer up your bodies to him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping him. Don't live any longer the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you'll be able to test what God wants for you. And you will agree that what he wants is right. His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. Is it possible to be a low commitment Christian? Is it possible? Is it possible? Can the description of low commitment be linked to a follower of Christ? Is it possible? Is it? Do you think? I mean, well, if you believe that you are a low commitment Christian, how do you change that? How do you change that? Well, there are what I believe are important characteristics of a high commitment follower of Christ. We see these in the lives of many people throughout the Bible. We do. God gives us different examples of high commitment people. The New Testament is full of all different teachings that teach us what it's like to live a high commitment life toward God. Now, I do not have time to cover those. I knew I wouldn't. So I'm going to mention to you these areas, and I'm going to basically, through the month of January, we're going to touch on these three characteristics at different times. I think we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Daniel, looking at Daniel and his friends and about how they approached commitment. But these are what I would call, I guess you'd say, the three pillars of commitment. If you want to become a high commitment person toward God, develop these three areas and you'll be well on your way. Number one is your relationship with God. And how do I define that? I define that as a person of high commitment will be defined by their obedience to God. Our obedience level determines our love level, which is evident in the fruit in our life. Would you agree with that? Based on your fruit, the decisions you make, your obedience level will show how much you love God. And you really, there are three areas that I'll probably will focus on that. I'll focus on that in your praise, in your prayer, and in the Word of God. Those are the three areas that you need to be strong in if you want to increase your relationship with God. Praise, what do? We praise when we're happy, right? And we pray when we're not, right? And that's normal. There are going to be times in your life that you know what? When things are good, you should be praising God. And you know what? When things aren't going well in your life, you should be praying and asking for wisdom and direction and help from your Heavenly Father. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to have the foundation of the Word of God, though, right? Because without that, you won't know what to pray for. You won't understand the answers that God gives you, because He may be giving you an answer that is not what you want to hear, but it's what the Word of God says. So that's the first area that we'll be talking about from a pillar of commitment. The second one is in your relationship with the family of God. And I define that as a person of high commitment will be defined by three different relationships that they hold with the family of God. The stronger these relationships are, the better you will be to weather any storm that comes your way. And you will face many storms in life. You will. It is important for a person of high commitment to have all three of these relationships. You need all three. The three relationships are a mentoring relationship. What does that mean? It means that you are teaching someone. You are training someone. You are putting what God has put in you into someone else. The other one is to be mentored, which means that you are under someone. You have found someone that you respect, that you see something godly in them that you want them to put in you. You need that because you don't know everything. And third, you need iron sharpens iron relationships. You need relationships where you can lock arm with that person. They're not there to teach you. You're not teaching them. You're fighting the fight with them. So you know what? When you're up, you're pulling them up. And when you're down, they're pulling you up. You're locked arms with them. When you lock arms with someone, you're at the same level as the person that you're with. You need all three relationships. That's why we focus on small groups here. That's why you'll hear us almost every week saying, find a small group, find a group, find someone that you can lock arms with, find someone you can teach, and find someone who will teach you. And then the third pillar is your relationship with the world. You need all three. Relationship with God, relationship with your family of God, and relationship with the world. See, because a person of high commitment understands this world is not our home. But we've been placed here to accomplish a specific purpose. You have a purpose as an individual and as the family of God. You have purpose here. And because of that, it's often mutually exclusive, right? Because the world's not our home, but God has a job for us here. So sometimes that makes our decisions of what we do while we're here hard, doesn't it? Because, you know, we're here, we see everything, but we know that this isn't the end game, right? Our end game is in heaven. So it causes some two different kind of concepts that you'll see intertwined with a person of high commitment. Number one, it's learning the difference between what's eternal versus temporary. That's huge. You get that, your life will be so ordered. When you understand what is temporary versus what's eternal. Telling you, you want to order your marriage, you want to order your family, you want to order your job, you want to order your relationships, you want to order your commitments to other things, then do that. Understand that there are some things that are eternal and that will cause your decisions to be different because temporary will die. Temporary will not last. Temporary will not have God say to you, well done, good and faithful. Eternal will. Because our job is to store things where moth and dust do not corrupt, right? Where thieves don't break in and steal. So that's your relationship with the world. Every decision you make is eternal focused, not temporary focused. Second is to be intentional rather than accidental. That's your relationship with the world. You have to be intentional with what you do. Don't accidentally shine the love of Jesus to someone. Intentionally do it. Do it with purpose. Wake up in the morning and say, God, Chris Mallett reporting for duty. What do you got for me? Oh, I met someone. Is that what I need to say, Lord? Not intentionally. Oh, I was a kind person. And they said, oh, you're a pastor. I'd love to join your church. No, it's intentional in my relationships. Intentional. How does this impact FCA? Or maybe a question is why does it matter? You know why it matters? Because the world is looking for people it can trust. We need to be sure that we're positioning ourselves to be people of influence in this world. If people are not willing to listen to what we have to say, how will we impact the world around us? Over the next few weeks, we will. We'll look at the life of Daniel, his three friends. They will show us that when we live lives of high commitment to God and show that we will not compromise no matter what the potential cost is, it will cause us to have the ability not only to change nations, but it's going to bring those, you'll see people in high authority through the book of Daniel come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. They begin to acknowledge who God is. How do we do that? I put up my Roman scripture, but let's use the Message version this time. How do we do it? Look at the words in this. I'm going to read it a little slow because I want you to really ingest what it's saying. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. So don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You see, we live in a world that chases entertainment. I've looked at my life. I chase it. Whether I'm willing to admit it or not, I do. I look at my time budget. I look at my finance budget. The world we live in quits easily. They don't like to follow through. They don't. They'll often use any excuse they can think of to get out of paying the costs for anything. But we serve a living Savior who came to this world, counted the cost, fulfilled His commitment all the way to the cross. God's looking for men and women who are of the same level of commitment. They're the ones that put God first. Even when it means saying no to things in their life that are fun, convenient, and can be quite pleasurable. They do it not because the things are bad. Hear my heart in this. I'm not attacking your entertainment. I'm not. They're doing it because they understand that our time on this world is short. And there are so many people who do not follow Jesus. We can spend our time living a quiet, peaceful life, not making many waves, just minding our own business, and leave this world without making an impact. Or we can decide here and now that God has got big plans for us, and we refuse to go to heaven alone. Others may live lives of mediocrity, lukewarm Christianity, but not us. We want to embrace everything that God has for us. We want to make sure that every one of our family and friends gets the opportunity to follow Jesus. We are not going to let our example be either one that makes them turn away from Jesus or one that they see no difference in. See, my behavior did not turn people away from Jesus. It's just, I don't think my behavior for so long really allowed them to see a difference. I think I lived my life pretty invisibly, where I fit in really well. It's funny, I was having a conversation with my wife, and I regretted the fact that in my role as a pastor, I don't get many opportunities to witness to people. And it was starting to bug me. I don't, because you know what? I'm here at church. I work at church. You know, a lot of my extracurricular activities, like with my sons, I'm not at Little League things anymore. I'm not around unsaved people much at all. And we got a car for Aaron and then for the other boys as they grow up to kind of be their, you know, the car that I really won't mind if it dies car. And there was a gentleman that he bought the car from, it's funny. I was like, God, I got a chance. I got someone here that doesn't know Jesus, and I can like start to speak to him. And so I started sending him different emails, you know, just like, hey, you know, if you ever need an ear, a cup of coffee, we can sit down and talk, you know. And he started responding, and I'm like, hey, I was like all excited about this opportunity that I'm going to have to witness to someone. And it ended up really not going the way that I expected it to go. And I actually had to quickly end that relationship just because of some of the weird things that he was proposing. I'm just being honest. But you know what? I want to become so hungry to reach people for God that I'm willing to do anything and everything. I do. Because I'm not here long. He's leaving for college in August. My time of influence over my son is about done. And you've no idea how much that rips my heart. Because everything that I've modeled and shined to him, it's based on that. And I second guess, you parents probably do that. Do you second guess yourself sometimes when you look back at the decisions you make? You know, because I had opportunities to send them on missions trips. I did. I remember actually doing the research and finding out like what it costs to do that. I actually did. And I didn't send them. I didn't. But I spent thousands on baseball. Private pitching lessons, $100 plus bats. I went to every one of his Little League games, went to his practices and helped the coach. But did I spend that much time teaching him what the Word of God said? Did I spend that level of time shining the love of Jesus in his life? Was I willing to spend a $300 Bible? We would laugh at that. $300 Bible, Pastor. Do you know how much some of his bats and gloves have cost? His cleats? His uniforms? Winter league, summer league, spring league, fall league? And I look back with regret. I'm not making that mistake with my younger ones. I'm not. I'm purposing now. I'm not saying the sports was wrong. I'm not. Here, you got to hear my heart in this. I'm not. I'm not. But I know what's more important. I know what's more important. And if I'm not willing to invest the same level in his spiritual growth as I am in his physical growth, how many times a week would I tell you to remind you to eat? How many times a week? How many times a week did I tell you to read the Bible? That stuck in me. Parents, hear my heart. Your time with your kids is limited. Invest everything you can in them. Do not look back with regret. Do not allow being conformed to the world. You have to allow God to transform your mind, which means you think differently than the world. Think differently than the world. Your kids are not going to thank you for this right now. They're not. They're going to fight you. Why? Because the world behaves this way. It does. They behave this way. And I'm sorry if I'm offending people. I'm sorry. But I want Philip to have a dad who asks him what God's doing in his life, not what his favorite sports team is doing. I want Jonathan to know that his dad has a prayer life where he prays for him on a daily basis and lifts him up before Heavenly Father, not what his favorite video game is. I want Heidi to know that I believe she is the perfect, most beautiful girl created in the image of God, and she's going to be an incredible mom and wife and dancer and worshiper before her Heavenly Father. That's what I want. That's the legacy I want to leave. And as your pastor, I apologize for the example that I've often set for you. God has shown me a lot over the last number of years. And my hope and prayer is to be able to put inside of you what I believe is the godly standard that I've not held, that I've not lived up to. But I want to be able to look in my boy's eyes and say, I did my best. That they look back to me and say, Dad, you did all right. I know God. And it's not because of my mom and my dad. It's because of who's inside of me. So in that next missions trip, brochure comes to my house that I'll say that's a worthy investment. When my kids say, you know, Dad, I kind of want to go to that, you know, AG summer camp that's all the way in New Hampshire, that I would be just as quick to pay for that and schedule my vacations and my work schedule around that as I was about all the baseball games and the piano lessons and the karate classes and the choir rehearsals and all those other because that's the commitment that I made to God to be the best husband, father, pastor, but most importantly, servant of the Most High. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me?